Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And in the end, Sam, there was a sprinkling of snow down here in the sort of North London-y kind of outer London area. A bit more in the Liverpool and North West area, but not enough to worry the games in the end. It was a bit of a storm in a teacup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All this snow.
Grassroots went, though.
The grassroots went. The London Colney Youth Tigers did not play. The pitch was frozen, unfortunately. Unfortunately, which did mean we got a bit of a lie-in, actually, this morning. Every cloud.
Did your alarm go off?
My alarm went off, yeah.
And I was like...
Because I was getting ready to get up and then take him to football, yeah.
I rolled over, looked at my phone. I was like, game's off. Back to sleep.
Back to sleep. Genuinely back to sleep.
That's what happened. It was great.
So good. People from all of the chat saying, yeah, loads of snow around the country. And there was, I think, the further you go north, I think up into Scotland and Wales, I think they had a bit as well.
We had some. In fact...
Yeah, it wasn't none, was it? It was a bit.
Last night, about sort of midnight-ish, we had quite a lot.
Yeah.
But then we woke up and it was raining.
Yeah, and as soon as it rains, it turns to slush, and then it goes a bit crappy, doesn't it?
They just washed it all away.
Just washes it away. Welcome, guys. That's enough snow talk for one evening.
Don't have to be Michael Fish anymore.
Didn't have to worry about it from a Premier League perspective in the end. Welcome to the FPL Family live stream here tonight on, as usual, on a Sunday night at 9 p.m. Our first one of 2025. First one of 2025, I think. Am I right in saying that? I hope I'm right in saying that.
Yes, because New Year's Eve was on...
Yes. I was just about to go Happy New Year to everybody. Then I thought, did we live stream?
No, we didn't. It was the 30th, wasn't it?
We didn't. Yes, so Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. If you are new to FPL Family, welcome along. Welcome. We come to you every single Sunday night, normally about 9 o'clock if we can get the kids to bed at the right sort of times. We'll talk about our game week scores. We'll talk about all the action we've just seen over the last couple of days. We'll talk a bit then usually at the end of the stream about what we're planning to do for the next game week, or at least some early thoughts on what we're planning to do for the next game week. So we'll talk about teams in a bit. We'll do games. We'll do all that sort of stuff. But before we do any of that, let's say hello to a few people. Let's say hello to Scott Schrager, the OG. Who better, Sam? Who better to say hello to first than the very first ever? I think he was our first ever subscriber, wasn't he, Scott Schrager?
I can't remember what Scott was actually first at.
OG.
All I know is that he was the first. But the first of what?
Was he the first to put something in the chat? Who was the first ever subscriber of FPL? We've been doing this for 8 years. And I'm pretty sure Scott's here.
He was one of our first patrons as well, I think, Scott.
More or less every Sunday. Like, there's some actual regulars in here tonight. Speaking of regulars, Adam Stevo is here. Nice to see you. John Tyner. Simon Minor-Bidet is here as usual. Simon, nice to see you in and moderating tonight. So be good, people. Be good. Barris302 is in from Poland. Hey, Barris. Nice to see you. Andrew Yee is here. Joseph Robinson is here. We also had a super chat literally as I hit live. We had a super chat from Malachi Fox. So thank you for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hi, Malachi. Hope you're both well. Currently on 63 points. Pretty damn good. With Sells to go and Watkins as captain, who I thought would be a good differential captain versus a poor Leicester team, but blanked.
I think we all expected more from Villa generally, though, than not just Watkins. I don't think that was... Watkins definitely, but even Villa, I think we were all expecting them to do bigger things against Leicester than they did.
Is that sort of green shoots of hope for Leicester, though? Could we say that Leicester were a bit better in that game? Certainly defensively, I thought they were a little bit better. It's all relative, isn't it? But still.
It's relative. I mean, we've been saying that about Southampton for the last couple of weeks, and they got absolutely smashed.
Gone, though, aren't they? They're gone.
Well, I don't know. We spent the last couple of weeks going, maybe there's a few green shoots there.
They're now officially the worst, aren't they? Officially the worst ever Premier League team at this stage. I think they are joint worst ever with Sunderland from the chat. You can correct me on this chat. 05-06, I think, season. Sunderland had they had 6 points at this stage of the season. So Southampton now officially joint worst ever Premier League. Since the top flight had its rebrand to the Premier League in 1992, they are the worst. So, and that was by the way, they should be happy that was 5-0 against Brentford. We're going to talk about that game. But oh my God, if ever there was a absolute pasting.
That could have been their 9-0, couldn't it?
I think it was 11 big chances Brentford had. But
they nearly always, they always have a 9-goal bashing, and that could easily have been it.
How can you give up 11 big chances? Only 90 minutes in a game? What's that, like 1 every 9 minutes? Mad.
It can't
big chance.
It can't be very much fun, can it, being a Saints fan?
And the thing was, they were like, we'll talk about the game in a bit, because Mbeumo is back on radar, isn't he? As are quite a few of the Brentford. There was only two Brentford outfield players that didn't get, you know, some returns from that game. It was absolutely unreal. But I think after about sort of an hour, 65 minutes, it was 1-0, wasn't it, to Brentford? And I'd watched the highlights, and you hadn't at this stage. And I said to you, oh, it was 1-0 to Brentford from about 65, 70 minutes. And then you said, oh, and then they went on and got spanked. I said, no. They were getting spanked 1-0. Like, it was, yeah. It could have been 4 or 5, even before Brentford then scored the other 4 goals. Yeah. It was mad. I mean, sorry, Saints fans, but it was terrible.
We can talk about this game a little bit more later, but I, of course, benched my Brentford asset. Yes, I benched you, Seth Vandenberg.
Do you have Seth Vandenberg? In actual fact, he got...
No, please don't tell me it could have been worse, Lee, because...
He could have scored. That could have been a goal.
Lee. So we got in the car.
Could have been a 17-pointer.
We've taken the kids out. Took in the kids? That's terrible English. We've taken the kids out.
Took in the kids.
And we got back in the car to drive home to watch the Arsenal game. And you said, oh, there's been a goal. Oh, no, I said to you, oh, there's been a goal at Brentford because it's a whoever it was assist. And you went, have you played Seth Vandenberg? And I was like, don't, please don't tell me that my, like the only bench player I had this week, the only one, because everyone else was suspended or injured, has returned.
Possibly a bit harsh to rule it out as well, VAR. A bit harsh.
Could you imagine he already got 10?
Got 10. That was bad enough, seeing that on the
bad
bench.
Enough.
You were like, if it could snow a bit more in Liverpool, that would be fine.
No, then you get I didn't want it to snow in Liverpool because I didn't have anyone else. I really wanted the Fulham game off. I was like, just, I want Fulham. I want there to be an absolute deluge of snow just in Fulham so that that game is off, because then Robinson would have gone on the bench and Seth Vandenberg. Needless to say, yeah. I don't control the weather. So sadly for me... Yeah. No such joy.
Yeah, well, we've had a super chat from George. Hey, George, nice to see you, mate.
Oh, happy George, I imagine.
He will be very happy with that result. Very happy. In fact, I'm sure he's happy. Because I think he kept him Mbeumo, I think. Remember that a few weeks ago when I was like...
Last dances with him.
Well, a few weeks ago, I was like, right, that's it, Brian. Thank you for the double-digit haul. I'm now getting rid of you. And that's felt like an all right decision for a couple of weeks. But I already feel like that was his best haul of the season. 19 points. I just feel like he's such a good asset, isn't he?
Did you sell Flecken, George?
I don't know.
I think I might have told you to do that as well.
George will tell us. He says, evening, Lee and Sam. 65 this week. Very good, mate. 438k rank. Very nice. Good also. Just a quick note on how amazing our patron is. Yeah, mate, it's good fun.
What,
good
when you're
fun
not winding everyone up, George?
When he's not winding everybody up. Yeah, he's been for a bit, isn't he, personally, George, at the moment. And as usual, when somebody in our patron, community goes through something personally, it's that sort of environment where people reach out. We just check on each other. We make sure everybody's all right. We hope and we think George is all right. So, mate, I know you've been going through a bit. Hopefully that cheered you up in the Slack, and the Brentford performance would certainly have cheered him up
that
a
would
little bit.
Cheer
without
him
a doubt.
Up, yeah,
without
sure.
a doubt. Benching Seth Vandenberg's 10-pointer.
Did not cheer me
definitely
up.
Definitely did not cheer you up. Definitely
no,
not.
No, didn't. No.
Definitely not. Right, let's get on with some of these games, Sam. I feel like we've covered Brentford Southampton in some detail there. So, why don't we just finish that one off. Why don't we finish off Brentford
versus
Southampton?
What a game to start with, by the way.
Well, there was
if
so...
you'd have said to me at the beginning of this game week when, you know, Liverpool playing
Man
United and Spurs had Newcastle and Arsenal had a game against Brighton, like some quite like tasty looking ties on paper. So we'll start with Brentford and Southampton.
Well, I kind of want to do this one in tandem with Manchester City. And the reason for that, and I'm pretty sure for the YouTubers, I've literally just put this up on the screen. I will come back to it. But I do want to jump very quickly to the fixtures. Brentford's next two fixtures, according to the Fantasy Football Scout FDR thing that you can see on the screen, it is, where are they? Manchester City and Liverpool, both at home. Now, Man City's got a kind of pink sort of grey hue to it. Liverpool at home is a red fixture. Then after that, it's Palace, Spurs, West Ham, Leicester. Because of the Man City and Liverpool fixtures there, I think mostly, and a little bit the Spurs ones, they're quite low down on the fixture difficulty rating ticker. I think there's some really good games for them in there. Next three games, we know how good they are at the G-Tech. I mean, they've lost a couple recently at the G-Tech, but historically this season have been very, very good indeed. Manchester City, despite getting back-to-back wins, giving up chances left, right and centre, that 4-1 flattered them against West Ham. No doubt about it. West Ham had chances. So I think...
Even without Bowen.
Even without Bowen. Kudus was good. Who else was the other lad up there? Somerville, I really like him as well. And Fulkrug got the goal, didn't he? So City giving up chances. And we sat here this time last week and said, all right, they beat Leicester 2-0 the week before, but Leicester could have, you know, Vardy could have got something in that game. They gave up chances. And
Leicester
if you look
should have
at,
won that game.
You look at some of the XG plots and some of the graphs, you know, it flattered City the last two games. They could have conceded more, and they're defensively still all at sea, in my opinion. Now, Liverpool, yeah, absolutely. That's a difficult game, no doubt about it, but it's at the G-Tech. We like to concede the odd goal. We've seen Manchester United put two past us and us defend, frankly, woefully. I'll talk about that later on. Then it's Palace away. Okay, difficult game, but you can get at them. Spurs, obviously, defensively all over the place. West Ham, I mean, this Brentford game, you could look at it and go, well, yeah, okay, Southampton were terrible. So, Bremo's, you know, 19-pointer, you've missed the boat there. I don't think you have. Have I just got my Mbeumo glasses on again here? Am I sort of, because I love him, I think he's a brilliant player.
I think you actually like him more than you like me.
No, it's not that. I do. I like him a lot. I like him a lot. And he's been linked with us a couple of times and I would not mind it. Sorry, George.
Poor old George.
He's a top player.
I don't... Yes, he is a top player. Anyone can smash Southampton.
I know, but I've literally just sat here for 2 minutes doing a monologue, making the case to get Brentford assets. On the back of this, they're full of confidence.
I'm not sure that you do go... With Manchester City and Liverpool up next, I don't think buying a Brentford player is a priority.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. All right. Okay. Any more on that game then, or just that you don't fancy Brentford in the short term?
It's not that I don't fancy them. I think they can score goals. It's just I think most... With those two fixtures on the horizon, obviously that we've got a little bit of a break now because it's a midweek round. So I say a break. There's just no fixtures next weekend because it's the FA Cup. I think you just have to be mindful of the fixtures that they have coming up. And I think if you want to go to Mbeumo, then absolutely, I don't blame you at all, given the performance. And actually, given how he's been performing this season, he has been great this season. But I do think you should be mindful of not going, oh, let's all get back on all Brentford assets because they've just smashed Southampton because it was Southampton at the end of the day.
What are we saying about Johan Vissa as well? Got an XG of 1.38. So he does show up in the Fantasy Football Scout members area for XG underachievers in the top 10. He is 10th in that top 10, but still he's there. Got the goal, but an XG of 1.38. So an underachievement of 0.38. Top for shots in the game week as well with 8. Again, is that a Southampton thing or is that Vissa on form? Because he only got his goal right at the end, right?
Yeah, he did, yeah. I as you know, I really like him. I think he is a top quality player. And I wanted him... What game week was it he got injured? Was it 6-5? So back then, he was my plan, wasn't he? I wasn't going to get him Mbeumo, I was going to get him instead because... I really like him as an option. And I think in that forward line at that point, we were kind of scratching around trying to find forwards. The difficulty I have right now is that we're kind of not scratching around trying to find forwards, are we? Because we can move on and talk about the fact that João Pedro gets a penalty this week. Raul Jimenez gets two penalties this week. So, okay, yeah. maybe we're a bit... Maybe it's not the form there, but, you know, they're options for sure and they're cheap as well. Chris Wood's not yet played this game week, but we know that he's definitely an option. Solanke's been performing well for me the last couple of weeks, so I'd find it difficult to sell him right now. Evan Nilsson's on there. Like, I just think that the front three, there is competition there, and on the back of a last-ish minute goal against Southampton, I'm not going to go there, but that doesn't mean I won't go there in the future. But I think Manchester City and Liverpool does still put me off.
All right, okay. So can't sell you on Brentford then. Let's see what you guys are saying in the chat. What? So you'd go into them for Palace and then Spurs?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what Mr. Simon is saying. I've got a super chat here, but it looks like the chat's giving up. It's gone all very glitchy. There we go. Oh, no, it's disappeared again. Let's see if I can bring it back. Chat. You can do it. Here we go. Simon, thank you for the super chat. I wildcarded, got border taking hits. Imagine that. And Bremo and Vissa in my first draft. Went Martinelli and Wood instead for the long term. Uric has a history of being defensively terrible, worse than Martin. Well, listen, Wood hasn't played yet, mate. Hasn't played. And when we talk about my team later on, you're going to understand why I can't wait for Wood and others to turn up tomorrow and wreck my rank even more. even more. The chat is very slow in this window today, isn't it? I feel like I need to refresh it, but I think it's going to just cock it all up, so we won't do that. All right, so there's me making the case for Brentford and their nice-looking fixture run. You're not having any of it. All right, let's move to the next one then. Let's go to what we've just seen, Liverpool 2, Manchester United 2. As usual, I have some fairly strong opinions on how Liverpool played. What did you make of the... what did you make of this?
I didn't think Liverpool were great today. No. Nope. Which is weird, because in every other game that I've watched this season, Liverpool have looked great. And I don't know if it was a weather thing, because it was horrendous, the weather. I know that there wasn't like snow and it was bad for Manchester United as well, but it was horrendous, the rain. So was it that? Was it the way that Manchester United played? Was it a bit of a surprise in the system that you were playing? I thought by far and away the best player on the pitch for Liverpool was McAllister. I thought he was excellent.
Easily.
But Trent was dreadful.
Yep.
And is that to do with... Like, he made Dalot look really good.
Like
Dalot,
Ronaldo.
Yeah, and Dalot hasn't looked really good the last few weeks. I didn't like Robinson's performance either on the other. Like, I thought that there were just bad performances. Konate, I think, was rushed back in. It felt like Konate was rushed back in.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't feel quite right yet. But I still... It's weird though, isn't it? Because Liverpool were performing at nowhere near what we know that they can do. Yeah, I still thought you'd win the game. Because I just... You've had that in you this year to just be able to drag it out the park somehow or another, because you have moments of magic from players. Now, it didn't quite come off today. Obviously, they score and it ends in a draw, which isn't terrible, but it definitely feels like a loss for Liverpool.
Mm. Well, the first thing I have to say about this game is credit where it is due. Manchester United were very good. Very good. And it's not often I sit here on Sunday and give Man United any credit. It's not often in my life
never.
I've sat here and give Man United
you
any credit. They were very, very good. They worked hard. They pressed hard. There was some leadership on the pitch again, which was severely lacking last week when Bruno was suspended. He was back. He was calling the shots. He was shouting where the player should be. I thought Højlund led the line pretty well, given that he was isolated for a lot of it. It was just him up there and a flat back five. And he held the ball up well, I thought. Defensively, they were all right. Onana pulled out a couple of good saves, one against McAllister, if I remember rightly. They were good. But you then have to say exactly what Bruno and the manager Amorim said in their post-match press. Like, where is that every week?
Yeah.
Where is that? They both said that. They both said, look, that was great today. If only we could do that every week, it'd be all right. And I agree. Why would they turn up for a massive game at Anfield, as they did last season, if you remember, we were in a brilliant run and the same narrative was there. The same narrative was, and I hate this narrative, by the way. I hate it. How many are Liverpool going to score past United? I hate that. It's Liverpool versus United. Anything can happen. It was the same last season and we drew 0-0, if you remember rightly. Same's happened this season. Same narrative. Oh, we're going to smash them. Should we be triple captain in Mo? No. Forget it. It's Liverpool, Manchester United. Anything can happen. And it did. It was 2-2. You're right. The weather didn't help, in particular Liverpool, I don't think, because the pitch felt a bit heavy. We didn't zip it around with the same sort of energy. It was a bit of a leveller. But that's just...
But it was the same for
both
teams.
That's a bad excuse. That's just an excuse. That's poor, if I'm going to reel that out, and I'm not. Because United are very, very good. And I agree with you on the Liverpool performances. Maka ran the show. I thought it was great. I thought we missed the dynamism of Szoboszlai. Yeah. And I think in any other world, Szoboszlai plays that game. But was ill, wasn't he? So he didn't play. And then Curtis has to play. Now, Curtis has played a lot of minutes recently. He's a very high-energy, high-octane player. He had to play last game week, which I think Szoboszlai would have played, but was suspended. So Curtis had to play. And now Szoboszlai could come back in fresh, but no, he's ill. So Curtis plays again. And I thought Curtis lacked a bit of energy in that midfield today. So Maka had to do most of the running about.
And he did it brilliantly. Like, yeah. I will say, like, McAllister was absolutely brilliant today. I just thought that the performances from your kind of star players who you would expect to... It did feel like... And your players know that... They know how to play balls to each other perfectly normally. Like, one of the things I love about watching Liverpool is how perfectly weighted the balls are to each other almost every time. You rarely see... Which is why I've been saying I think Liverpool are going to win the league.
Don't they?
But they move it perfectly. And it's always... It's nearly always the perfect pass, the right weight of the ball, the right position on the pitch. Today, there were a couple of moments where Diaz had one. I remember Diaz putting one through and he just put it and it was too fast and it just flew off because I think he was worried about leaving it short because the pitch was slow and it was heavy. And so you didn't get that flowing Liverpool football that we are used to seeing. Plus, Manchester United were doing a good job of being on you and pushing their style of play. Did we learn anything, though, from an FPL perspective? Because I'm not convinced that we did, really.
Well, I think we learned a little bit about Trent. Because we sat here, didn't we, last week, and Trent had just got a 15-pointer. And you were like, and after weeks and weeks of you saying he's not good enough and Liverpool defence is not worth investing in, you were like, I'm getting him. And I said, why? 0.02 XG, that goal against West Ham. And we could have easily have conceded two or three goals.
No, but as I said to you, it wasn't really about... What Trent did last week was frustrating, but it wasn't about the 15-pointer. It's about the fact that, like with Arsenal last season, you couldn't not have an Arsenal defender last season because when they kept a clean sheet, your rank would tank if you didn't have one.
Yeah.
And it got to the point by the second half of last season, you had to have two. Because if you didn't have two, your rank would still tank. So when I was having just Saliba, it was like, oh, this is a nightmare. I'm constantly getting red arrows every time they keep a clean sheet. And the same is becoming true of that Liverpool defence as well, because Van Dijk is heavily owned, Trent is heavily owned.
So Konate's back at 5-1 now. Are you going to move from Trent to Konate?
So this is the frustration for me, because I thought Konate was another week or two away. I didn't think he was back for this one. And had I realised that Konate was back, because I said this on the live stream last week, I would have got Konate if he was fit. Am I going to move it? Probably not, because it's such a sideways thing. Unless I really got to find the money, then I'll do it. But right,
Trent was easily our worst player today.
Yeah, but just
it's
because...
so bad. The defending for the first goal. Like,
no,
tell me what you think, chat. It was like, honestly, I couldn't believe what I was watching. You like, not only are you giving. So Man United played a nice little triangle out on the right-hand side. And by the way, all of their threat come down that side.
Yeah.
I mean, Robertson didn't have a great game. I thought he and Ahmad, it was a good battle on that side, right? And I thought in the end, Ahmad probably just comes out just about on top because he gets the goal, right? But all of the danger came down Trent's side.
Yeah.
And it was like the first goal, Bruno picks the ball up and Trent like...
He's just not
there. It just lets him go past.
Yeah,
if
no,
you watch
does.
It back, guys, honestly, watch the replay. It just lets him go. And I'm screaming at the TV. You heard me. I'm screaming because I'm like, we're going to concede it. I'm like, don't let him go. Don't let him go. Because it's Bruno bloody Fernandes. Any other player. And I'm like, oh, maybe let him go. But you don't let Bruno go.
No, but equally, Lee, you're not seriously telling me that you're not going to sell him and go sideways to Konate. Unless you actually have to.
Oh, no, I've got loads of other stuff to do in my team. But listen, if you've got luxury transfers in your back pocket, Trent to Konate doesn't feel too bad if you want to save a couple of million quid.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Is if you need the money. And right now, I'm not sure people do need the money. If Haaland goes on a run now, if he builds on what happened in game week 20, in game week 21 and game week 22, and then suddenly we're all going, God, dear, I've got to find a way to get Haaland back in my team as well. But I need to keep Salah and I want to keep Palmer. So what am I doing about the rest of them? That's the moment I think people will start looking at Trent and going, I've got to strip some money out of there. I want Konate so much cheaper, so I'll just go there instead. It is an annoyance to me that Konate... When I heard Konate was starting today, the first thing I thought was, I could have saved myself two.
The good question from Adam Stevo in the chat. Could Bradley start getting minutes? Maybe, Adam. Maybe. I mean, I think if he was a bit fitter... Conor Bradley, he'd have come on earlier.
He's coming back, isn't he?
Today.
That's his first minute back, right?
It's his first minutes back. So maybe, Adam, maybe. One to keep an eye on. I think Bradley will start for sure against...
Accrington Stanley.
Well, I was going to say against you lot. I'm not sure he will actually against you lot.
I'm not sure that they'll start him against us. That's a big game to come in for 90 minutes on the back of a few minutes in the rain.
I think he's more likely to start against Accrington, I expect. But yeah, maybe, Adam. Yeah, maybe. But... Listen, if we defend like we defended today against you lot, you'll kill us because I mean, we'll score some past you as well, I'm sure. But the fact that your attack is still doing what your attack does best, which is score goals. Yeah, if we defend like that, it's going to be shocking. Absolutely terrible. Right, the less said about that, the better. Let's talk about Liverpool fixtures then, and Manchester United fixtures as well, because Liverpool's fixtures are Forest away next in a title tough decider. And then you've got Brentford away in 22, which is difficult, before it eases up a little bit with Ipswich, Bournemouth and Wolves. It's not easy for Liverpool next two or three.
Next two or three it's aren't. It's not easy. No, they're not. However, at some point there's going to be a double in there. You've got to expect that the double slots in there somewhere.
Yeah, so you can't really
somewhere
sell, can you?
So I think you hold with Liverpool. I think...
Jota, if you have, do you hold? You just said if you have, you hold with Liverpool. I'm not sure you do with Jota.
I don't know what you do with Jota. I think you might have to sell Jota. But everyone else, I think what you've got, you hold. Because in reality, this is one bad performance in 20 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think... I get it. I get why you're like this. Because I felt like this for about 20 weeks. Because it's hard when your team performs.
It's just because it's Manu.
But it's also difficult when your team drop points. When it's a game that they shouldn't be dropping points in. Now, I appreciate that it's Manchester United and it's different. But the way that Manchester United have been playing up until now, you shouldn't have been dropping points in that game. So it's a frustration. But that frustration shouldn't mean that we all go, all right, that's it, I'm getting rid of all my assets. Now, Jota is slightly different because... Again today, Gakpo.
Have I made a mistake there?
I thought you made a mistake when you did it. I think your love for Ballon d'Or Jota blinkered you a little bit.
I think it did. I think I have to hold my hands up with that one. And sometimes in FPL, you just have to go, I've made a mistake there. And I think I have. And I think I've largely got away with it because the 50-50 between him and Diaz. Even last week, Diaz got the goal, didn't he? But then Jota comes on and gets the goal.
Yeah.
Today, both blank. So in terms of that 50-50 shout, I think I've got away with it. So if I rectify it for next week, maybe I go to Diaz. But I'm much, much more likely, I think, to do Jota to Mbeumo for next week.
But that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. I think it's more that you just... When you're... Like, I've got Diaz. I'm not going to sell Diaz. I'm frustrated that Diaz comes off 4 seconds before the 60 minutes.
You got one rather than two,
didn't
you? Yeah.
Like, that's really frustrating. Because, and I know it's 1 point, and you said to me at the time, it's just 1 point. It's like, no, actually, 1 point is a big deal. Like, one point's a lot in terms of rank at the minute. So it's really annoying. But equally, I kind of like, well, that performance today from Liverpool wasn't right from the outset watching it. I was like, I can't see Diaz getting much out of this game today. There wasn't a game for him today. But the ones that you've got coming up, I still think there's a chance in. Nottingham Forest are interesting, aren't they? Because they're either absolutely brilliant or they've had a couple of games against bigger clubs where they've really not been very good at all. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on against you lot, because that, as you say, is a big game at the top of the league. But
I think it's a tough game.
I think you have to hold what you have, unless it's Jota, and then reluctantly, I think you have to sell him.
Probably move, yeah. Adam Stevo is in saying, Bumo going up in price tonight.
You can't do anything ahead of the League Cup and the FA Cup.
Too much football to go, Adam. I hear you, mate, but I can't do that tonight. We've got a League Cup game against Spurs, then we've got Accrington in the Cup, and then I think the midweek after, haven't we? We then got to play
14th
Forest.
They start, yeah.
Yeah, an away game to Forest in the middle of a week. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Could be worse. You could have the North London Derby in the middle of the week.
God, bloody hell, well. I tell you what, Sam, that is a very good segue to go and talk about your lot then. So let's talk about Spurs 1, Newcastle 2. As usual with Spurs, an absolutely batshit crazy entertaining game. What did you make of this? I mean, there was so much going on, even in the first 6 minutes with the handball and the Solanke goal and the whole clean sheet wipeout. It was like, it was a mad old game. Mad game.
But I was terrified, as you'll testify to about this game. To the point where I actually...
Yeah, well, I thought you were in for a bit of a spanking here when I saw your lineup.
To the point where I actually wasn't... Like, we were at Sky on a Saturday morning, and normally, if Liverpool or Spurs are the lunchtime kickoff, we're like, right, thanks, Briggsy, we're off.
Yeah, cheers.
Like, let's get out the door, get in the car, because we have to get back. Yeah. And you never know what the M25 is going to do. I nearly did a little Gavin and Stacey cruel mistress line there. You never know what's...
Sorry, no, I've knocked a pitcher over. Carry on.
The children have been knocked over. But keep on. You need to, we need to get away. And so we're standing there and you went, come on, Spurs are on. And I was like, oh, well.
it doesn't matter if we miss it.
Come on, like, it's fine. We just get home when we get home. And actually, we flew home, didn't we? So we were home in plenty of time.
Good job we did get home in time, because it was all going the first 6 minutes.
So the one thing I'll say here is I was terrified. I looked at the lineup and was like, what the hell kind of lineup is this? Everyone's ill. if they're not ill,
yeah, what's that about?
They're injured. Yeah. Well, they've all got the sickness bug, haven't they? They've all caught the same sickness bug. Probably the one that the Arsenal players had the week before. Probably the one that Szoboszlai's picked up as well. Like, there is a lot of illness around in the UK at the moment. God only knows what's going on. But anyway,
it's cold, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, it's cold. But it was problematic.
It's my official doctor's opinion.
Well done, Lee. But I was, the first half, I thought we were okay. I actually thought we did an okay job.
Yeah.
I was pleased. I was really, as a Dom Solanke owner, I was really pleased with his positioning on the pitch. And what I'm going to say something ridiculous now, something that I never thought I'd say. But when Reguilón played,
he did all right.
We looked better.
He did all right,
because Reguilón does the thing that, as Spurs fans, we've been begging Son to do, and Udogie, for 20 weeks now, because Reguilón's not afraid to go past the man.
Yeah,
and when you go past the man, you cross the ball.
Yeah.
And who's getting the ball from the cross? Dom flipping Solanke. So as a Solanke owner, I'm watching Reguilón G'ing up the crowd, going past a man, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this is actually okay, because of course we get, well, Dragosan came off of his sick bed to play in this one.
Yeah.
Only made it to half time.
He apparently said at half time, I'm just so ill, I can't play.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he's like, Gaffer, I've got to go back to bed. So he goes back to bed. Spence moves into the middle and Reguilón plays. I thought the Spurs performance was good. Solanke, I thought that was one of his best performances I've seen. I thought on another day last season, that goal is ruled out for it because it's a handball.
Well, this is the thing with that goal, isn't it? Because according to the rules, which are crap rules,
yeah,
it's a goal. I'm sorry, but it's a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rules are nonsense. I mean, that is... You're right. Last season, that's handball. This season, apparently, it's not.
I'm not moaning about it because it's the rules and it's fine. Like,
I'll tell you what also is one of the rules. If you elbow somebody in the back of the head, that's also a red card.
Yeah,
in the rules.
But Joe Linton didn't get a red card for that.
So Spurs were done absolutely dirty is the first thing to say in this game. Right, I agree with you. Spurs were played well. And for the first time in weeks, I sit here most Sundays and go, Christ, you were crap and you deserve to lose. You weren't. You were good and you deserve something out of this game. And you were deeply, deeply unlucky. Firstly, Joe Linton has assaulted Bergvall.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah.
And on Match of the Day, I could not believe it when Micah Richards and the other guy that was on there was it Danny Murphy maybe? Were just like, oh yeah, it's just an accidental coming together. It is not. It is not. Joe Linton means to elbow Bergvall in the back of the head and he gets away with it. Unbelievable. Second one they get away with, Newcastle. And by the way, I'm going to big up Newcastle in a minute because I thought they were good. But the second one they get away with is that Dan Byrne, I think it is, already booked. Apparently, this is a natural position for the podcasters that can't see. I'm making a massive T shape with my arms. That's a natural position for your arm to be in. That's a natural silhouette. So that's fine if the ball hits you on the arm there. That's a second yellow and he's gone. Should be gone. That should be two reds as well as a dodgy handball decision in that first half. And then on Match Today, they're like, the Kulusevski one was more of a penalty on Gordon than the Bergvall elbow. I'm like, Gordon just turns into Kulusevski. It's like, not much.
There just being a gentle giant, and he literally noses Kulusevski's shoulder.
Got done dirty by the refs. It's particularly in that first half.
But
they got away with murder, Newcastle.
But all of that said, the second half performance from Spurs is the best performance I've seen us
put
in.
It was all right. Yeah.
Maybe since game week 7 or 8, probably.
So why? What was different about it?
Well,
what?
We were playing I think there were two things different about it. I think we were playing a slightly different formation very different formation because we had different personnel on the pitch. So over the last few weeks, we have been bodging lineups together, particularly defensively.
Yeah.
We've been playing players in completely the wrong position. We have had and I don't like to speak ill of Fraser Forster when he's being sick, but we've had a goalkeeper that I'm talking about Fraser Forster.
Okay.
I've had a goalkeeper who has made a couple of mistakes.
Yeah.
But those couple of mistakes have made him shaky.
When he's
been playing, he's been all right. Then he's made a mistake, and then for about 10 minutes, you can see the mistakes in his head.
Rory Scott, that's such a good comment. He just said the way that you said, so poor old Gordon's basically broken his nose, and you were like, well, Gordon knows he's Kulusevski. Has everybody checked on Kulusevski's shoulder?
Correct. Has anyone checked
on Kulu's shoulder?
Poor old Kulu's okay. He's a nice ginger giant from Sweden. Has anyone checked his shoulders? Probably got a horrible bruise.
Anyone check that Kulu's all right? I mean, Gordon might have broken his nose with blood everywhere, but is Kulu's shoulder okay?
Correct. Well done for pointing that out. Somebody ring up Kulu and check he's okay.
Amazing.
He was the captain as well today. I was bloody proud of him. Anyway, back to the goalkeepers. I thought Brandon Austin actually played really, really well.
Right.
He did all right. And so we ended up... I think the big thing that changed actually was... It was Reguilón. The fact that Reguilón was going past...
Game changer,
Lee,
Reguilón.
It was the fact that Porro on one side and Reguilón on the other decided, oh, well, actually, let's go and beat a man and put the ball in the box.
Yeah.
What the hell? Novel concept, Spurs. If you put the ball in the box, Dom Solanke can finish his dinner.
The challenge you've got with Spurs, though, and I said this to you while we were watching the game and you didn't like it, is that you've got Arsenal away next, Everton away after that. Okay, yeah. Leicester home in 23. G-Tech, Brentford away in 24.
But we score
three
goals.
Three very hard away games.
But see, this is where I get cross with you. Because it's not about... You don't have to worry. You're an FPL manager. You do not have to worry about whether Spurs win, lose or draw. All you have to worry about is, are they going to return points for me in FPL?
Mm.
And the bottom line is...
Defence, yes. Attack, defence, no. Attack, yes.
So...
I worry about Spurs.
No, you don't.
You can't say to me all you've got to worry about is
Spurs.
FPL.
You don't worry about Spurs. You just like to... You like... No, you don't.
Spurs are 12th and I don't see him getting...
You
I see them maybe
dad,
getting 1 point in the next 12.
You,
it's right, a worry, I worry
started,
about Spurs.
No, you don't. You started saying this yesterday. We were sitting at my mum and dad's and you and my dad had your big wooden spoons out, stirring the pot going, oh, I think they might only get 1 point in the next 5 games.
You might. Look at those fixtures.
Lee, we're not going to pick up 1 point in the next 5 weeks.
Rude will get them going by 23 as well, Leicester.
Do you want to punch in the face? I'll get Kulusevski round here.
You
can run into his elbow. Break your nose. Honestly. But the point I'm making is that from an attack perspective, Udogie is now out for the next 6 to 10 weeks.
Right.
Dragosin's clearly ill. Now, I would argue that Spence did a blooming good job playing next to Archie Gray. And Reguilón...
Again, yeah.
Again. And Reguilón did a good job when playing in his actual position. So, it depends on what we do against Arsenal in the North London Derby on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Tuesday
well,
night.
They're not exactly playing out of their skin at the minute, Arsenal.
No, but my point is that if we play Porro... God, I hate myself. And Reguilón, we will actually go and try and beat a man.
Yeah.
And if we go and try and beat a man, we do have a forward who will put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So
Are you saying Reguilón is the key for Spurs? Never thought you'd say it. He's the key to beating Arsenal in the North London Derby. Sergio Reguilón. Get him in your FPL team.
Do you remember a few years ago, I used to bloody love Reguilón. And then we sent him out on loan. I was really upset about it.
He was all right for Man U and he went there. He was fine.
They wanted to keep him, and I couldn't really understand it.
Well, because you just made the case
for
him.
But now I understand it, because now he's going past a man, whereas before we've not had anyone go past a man down that side all season. Your doggy hasn't go past a man, and nor does
the answer was under Big Ange's nose this whole time.
He's seen him now. He's seen the light. Anyway, he probably won't even start next week. But the point is that I think from an attacking perspective from Spurs, you can still go there. You just can't go there yet because we've still got 2 matches to play before the North London Derby.
Torben Nielsen, very good comment in the chat. He says, please stop the Spurs chat. Nobody wants any of their players anyway. Good point. Well made, Torben. Let's move on. Newcastle then.
Everyone should want a Spurs player. Have you seen Brendan Johnson? Delightful, man.
Newcastle, even before the Spurs game, we were saying, well, that's a good game. And then their fixtures get really, really good. Their fixtures get really, really good. Wolves and Bournemouth at home, Southampton away, Fulham at home, Manchester City away, and then Forest in 25 and 26. But certainly for the next 4 weeks, they look incredibly, incredibly investable. That's now 5 wins on the spin, only 1 goal conceded, which was that Solanke goal in the first couple of minutes.
I'm loving big
in the last...
Winston.
If we're going to move on from Spurs, please, that'd be great. Newcastle, you're invested in Isak, as is half the world. You're invested in Lewis Hall, as is quite a lot of FPL managers. I have them both too. Yeah. Would you consider the treble up? And if so, where would you go? Is it as obvious as bringing in Mr. Anthony Gordon?
I think if you're going to treble up, it's only going to be Anthony Gordon.
No love for Jacob Murphy?
Not really.
Why not?
Why not?
I think he's being criminally overlooked, Jacob Murphy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's returned in something like the last 4 or 5 games and he's ridiculous money. Like, I've got Enzo Fernandez sitting there doing absolutely naff all for $5.5 million. Whereas I could have had Jacob Murphy for the last 3 or 4 weeks getting me the returns.
Ballon d'Or.
I wouldn't say Jacob Murphy for the Ballon d'Or, Sam. No,
you say Johnson say for the Ballon d'Or.
Well, I'm not going to say Jacob Murphy for the Ballon d'Or. That would, even for us here on a Sunday night, that's quite outlandish. You've already said Reguilón's the answer. Let's not
maybe
go with...
Maybe you can get the Ballon d'Or.
Some... I know this is a, this is the whole point of FPL Family at a Sunday night is to kind of like, you know, let's do a kind of gut feel reaction. But that's some frigging hot takes right there. Reguilón is the answer to all Spurs troubles and Jacob Murphy for the Ballon d'Or. You heard it here first, guys.
Reguilón is the answer to everything, not just Spurs' troubles, apparently.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't mind the Jacob Murphy pick. Okay, right.
Gordon's a bit more obvious, though, isn't
he? My fear with Jacob Murphy, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm doing him a disservice, is that he is in a purple patch. And that purple patch is already, I don't know, 4 games deep, however many games it's been now. And at some point, I'd expect that to slow up. Whereas with Anthony Gordon, we know that he has it in him to play at this level all season. Now, my one concern is if he's broken his nose and he's got to play in a stupid mask... The stupid masks do tend to have a negative impact on...
Good finish when it against you. I know the handball, yeah, get all that. But the finish.
Yes, but...
Confident finish,
but,
I liked it.
But when they do play in those masks... Like, I am being serious now. I'm not taking the mic. But when players do play in masks, they're not as good because it affects their...
Yeah, maybe.
...their vision.
Yeah, maybe. But listen, their fixtures look so, so good.
So what are you doing? Are you travelling up?
Well, I mean... I think I've got to do something about Jota, haven't I? I think I've got to hold my hands up and say that's a mistake. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to be the transfer out for next game week. And I've got 2 free transfers to play with.
Right.
The decision I'm going to make is, do I go for Mbeumo or do I go for Gordon? That's the decision I've got to make. And I've got some time to think about it. I know what Adam's saying about Mbeumo going up in price. I'm pretty sure Gordon's going up in price. If
yeah,
not
but
tonight, the night before.
Than Jota, so...
And I've got money in the bank, right? So I'm not stressing out about the price rises. I'm going to take my time over that decision. The next 2 fixtures for Gordon look much better than they do for Mbeumo, because Mbeumo's got City and Liverpool.
Agree.
But then after that, it looks super, super good. And could Mbeumo do well in both of those games? Yes, of course he could. So maybe I go to Gordon because of and do just purely a fixtures play for the next 2 and then scout it out and see whether I move over to Mbeumo in... 22, 23, whatever that is, I don't know. But that's probably one of the transfer decisions I'm going to be making over the next week and a bit. Jota to either Mbeumo or Gordon. Are you thinking about Gordon? You've got to be thinking about him.
Yeah, but so
5 returns in a row.
Maybe this is a segue into Crystal Palace, because obviously got Ismaïla Sarr. So when I look at my midfield, I've got Salah, who's not going anywhere, clearly. Palmer, who's not going anywhere. Diaz, who... I don't think I want to sell Luis Diaz, so that it rules him out. Morgan Rogers, who just is such a nice, cheap, perfect fifth that he's not going anywhere. So it really only leaves that Ismaïla Sarr position. So I could say, all right, well, I'll sell Ismaïla Sarr and I'll get Anthony Gordon or Jacob Murphy or however you want to invest in the Newcastle midfield. But the issue I have with Ismaïla Sarr is, yet again... I'm looking at underlying stats, and it's really hard when this happens. When you get a player that's like, the underlying stats suggest I was bang unlucky with this again. He assists the assists again. It's
well, let's move
like,
on to that then. Let's go on to Palace 1, Chelsea 1. Anybody that's got a bit of a brain fart in the chat then, apologies. I'll just refresh the page because it's been really super laggy for some reason tonight. So I've just refreshed that. Hopefully that's going to... improve things over in the chat. So sorry if you got a bit of interference there, folks. Palace 1, Chelsea 1. An interesting game this one, because I thought Chelsea dominated for large parts. And in that first half, they were easily the better team. Should have seen Palace off. Should have got to halftime, maybe 2, maybe even 3. And Jackson goes back to what we've seen from Jackson in previous weeks, which was being a bit wasteful in front of goal, no doubt about it. And Palmer, all right, he gets the 10 points. I see he got his bonus points upgraded to 3, which is great. And if you had him again, he's out-captained Salah for the second week in a row. If you were...
No, not last week.
Not last week, the week before then. Yes, absolutely, yeah. So that's kind of a couple of weeks where Palmer has...
They've hokey-cokeyed
outscored
around, haven't they?
Salah, yeah. But when Salah outscores Palmer, it does tend to be quite big, is the one thing you would say.
Yes.
So with Chelsea, they should have been out of sight here. And then they got really sloppy for the goal. Really sloppy for the goal. And it's such an avoidable goal. If I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be fuming at that goal.
Yeah.
It was so avoidable. And it's actually Palmer that gives the ball away in midfield. And then you're right, it's Ismaïla Sarr, I think, to Mateta, to Eze, to Mateta. Does it go...
It's Ismaïla Sarr, Eze, Mateta.
So Sarr with the second assist, and then Eze with the assist to Mateta. I didn't think Mateta was amazing in this game. I thought he was fine. He did what Mateta does in terms of holding the ball up. Eze missed a couple of chances and had, I think, 4 shots on goal compared to Ismaïla Sarr, 0. Mm-hmm. So when you say about Ismaïla Sarr is still, you know, it's hard because he's still getting those underlying stats. Well, he's not really, not in this game. He wasn't getting any shots away.
No, he didn't have shots, but he was unlucky not to get an assist in this game. So he's expected
But Eze was unlucky not to get a double-digit haul here.
Yeah, but the issue I have with Eze is if I was going to move away from Ismaïla Sarr, I don't think I'd stay at Palace.
Okay. Why?
Because I think if you're going to go up in price, and this is part of the issue I had when I was doing the Ismaïla Sarr thing at the beginning, is that if you're going to go up in price, then I think looking at a Murphy or an Anthony Gordon or somebody like that is better value for money than looking at than an Eze. But maybe I'm wrong. And I'm finding it difficult to know what to do with Ismaïla Sarr at the moment. So to the point where I might just try and do nothing heading into game week, the midweek round, and just give it another week, let my brain compute what's happening, build up a couple of transfers, and then think about where I go for the weekend after.
Yeah, they are top of the fixture ticket. You YouTubers can see it on there right now. So Leicester, West Ham, Brentford, Man U, Everton and Fulham up next 6.
It'd be very hard to sell Ismaïla Sarr out of that.
Yeah, but as someone that hasn't got any Palace in their team, so I'm starting from a kind of blank slate. I'm like, well, who should I get?
You've got no one, then I'd go Eze over Ismaïla Sarr today. Yeah. But 2 weeks ago, it was different.
But Sarr, you'd hold. You'd be patient.
I think you have to. I think if you've got an investment in a team like Palace who've got great fixtures, I think you have to just hold what you have. A bit like with Liverpool, I think you have to hold what you have.
And what about the lad Munoz? Because again, I feel like I've dodged. I like Munoz owners. I don't know how you're not getting double digit hauls every week.
No,
it's like the guy is unbelievable. Like last week, we sat and we said about how he got, you know, 0.52, I think it was XG, and he hit a. It hit somebody's heel when he was through on goal and it just was very unlucky not to score. Well, again, I looked at Munoz's heat maps in comparison to some of the other players. Like, and I know Mateta drops a little bit deeper to come and get the ball in a kind of, don't want to compare him to Kane, but he does drop a little bit deeper to get the ball and play make and hold things up.
Yeah.
But Munoz is like ahead of him in the heat maps.
I know.
He's mad, his average position.
Yeah.
And his XG. So, again, I feel like I've gone another week where the Munoz owners have got unlucky, and I've got lucky as a non-Munoz owner.
But this is another defence that just doesn't quite seem to hit. Like, I had Dean Henderson for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks at the beginning of the season. But they do just have a habit, a bit like I was saying about Liverpool and others, they just have a habit of just conceding one. Now, Munoz has the attacking threat, the same sort of level of attacking threat that we've been seeing from Anthony Robinson and players like that over the last few weeks. I think part of the issue is, a bit like you this week with your big defence, is that most managers now have defenders that they don't want to bench. So if you've got an Arsenal defender or two, if you've got a Liverpool defender in there, and then you've probably got a Lewis Hall or a Robinson, it's very hard to then get Munoz as well in the fifth slot, because suddenly then, what the hell are you doing with your team? How are you deciding who you're playing and who you're benching?
And as I found out, to my detriment this week, we'll talk about this when we get to my team. I did 5 at the back this week.
Yeah, I know you did.
And I don't think I've ever done that. Like, never. I mean, I barely go 4, never mind 5.
Not for years.
But I looked at it and I thought, well, who am I dropping there? You know, and I fancied all 5 of them. Now, on reflection, that's a high-risk strategy because on any given game week, Robinson can get an assist.
Yeah.
Rico can get something.
Oh,
Gabriel can score from a corner. And Lewis Hall can get something.
With the exception of Rico Lewis, I'm fully with you.
But hear me out. And then my other one was Trent. And now Trent can do Trent things. He got 15 points last week. So on any given week, any of those can go off.
Yes.
But to play all 5 is high risk because this is not something we don't expect Trent to score every week. We don't expect Lewis Hall to get an assist every week. We don't expect Robinson to get an assist every week. 7 assists, great. We love him. We want him in our teams.
Yep.
But out of 20 game weeks, this is not something that's happening frequently.
Yep.
So when I reflect upon what I've done this week and play 5 at the back, it's really high risk. And I put myself in that position because I've got a lot of good defenders. So you're right. If I now go, one of my other things I'm thinking about, as well as the Jota to Mbeumo or Gordon move, I'm also thinking about Rico to Munoz.
But then what?
Now,
are
you if
doing?
I do that, I'm going to be looking at it going some weeks, oh, I want to play five at the back again. And I've had an absolute stinker this week. And part of that is because I've played five of them and they've got 7 points between them, these five.
I think the problem is that at the moment, we're still... So normally by this point in the season, we're seeing teams settle into clean sheet rhythms. And by now, normally the likes of Arsenal and the good defences are regularly keeping clean sheets. Well, this season... That's still not regularly happening.
Yeah, not happening.
But what is regularly happening is that these cheapish defenders, the ones that have started the season at four and are now somewhere between four and... Sorry, have started the season at 4.5 and are now somewhere between 4.5 and 5.3 in price. But they are regularly returning attacking returns. Mm. So they're popping up with the assists. They're popping up with some goals here and there. They're popping up. They're taking set pieces. They're getting a load of bonus points. So because of that... Suddenly, you know, you want Gabriel and Trent in your team. Absolutely, I get that. But that means you've got to bench three of those.
Yeah, it gets difficult when you're deciding who to bench out of Munoz and Robinson and
really,
all these guys.
Really, you're playing
guys,
one
right?
out of three every week, yeah, and that's really hard.
Thank you for the super chat, Joseph Maloney. I'm the same with Lee Jota. With Jota, thinking Gordon, Eze or Mbeumo. Yeah, mate, I think that's... It's looking like one of those three. The other one that I'm considering getting out, as well as Jota, is Enzo Fernandez. I'm probably... Given the Chelsea fixtures, I've got Bournemouth and Wolves up home next, and then West Ham at home in 24. Given that Romeo Lavia is coming back, I think that will be better for Enzo. So I'll probably keep him for those two. But the other thing that I should point out is that I'm lucky to have him for these two. Should have been sent off in this game. Absolutely should have had two yellows, in my
You've
opinion.
You've been lucky not to get a couple of red cards lately.
Yeah, no Jao doubt. Pedro yeah, no doubt. Week. It was I for me when I look back at the Enzo thing and tell me what you think, chat. But I for sure thought it was a second yellow. He should have gone, in my opinion, Enzo Fernandez this week. Where else do we want to go, Sam? We've got lots to discuss still. We're nearly coming up to an hour, so we've got to rattle through it. City 4, West Ham 1. West Ham quite poor again. But City, you know, listen, you can only beat what's in front of you. And Haaland getting a couple of goals. Foden as well. Your thoughts on Savio as an option? 3 assists and was man of the match, in my opinion. I thought he was very, very good in this game.
Yeah. And he's starting to get a bit more... So if you'd have said to me about Savio maybe like a month ago, I'd have been like, nah, too much of a rotation risk. Can't really go there. But actually, when I was looking at it, I'm just going to bring it back up again.
Pepe's starting to trust him now.
There is,
and he's only 20 years old. We've got to remember that. 20 years old, first season, coming from... actually, not sure where he came from, but it's his first season in the Premier League, right? He's got to settle. He's got to find a house and all that, you know, get in with the team and all the rest of it. So here we are, you know, 5 or 6 months into him being at the club. Maybe he's just starting to settle. Maybe he's finding his confidence. He's second amongst midfielders for underlying BPS this week. Only Mbeumo had more than Savio. So I don't know. I was just, for the first time, he made me sit up and take notice. I was very impressed with him.
Yeah, last 3 weeks, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 80 minutes. Mm. Like, we're just starting to see a little bit more consistency. Now, we have had this before.
He come from Girona. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Malachi and Nikolai.
So we have had this before. Game one, he played just 45 minutes. Then he got 3 starts in a row. Then he only got 9 minutes. Then he got 4 starts in a row. Then he came off the bench for 2. Then he started 1. Then he was off the bench for 2. Now he started 3. So we have had this where he sort of seems to going for a period where he's trusted and then he gets benched again. I think the difference with him... over maybe a KDB or a Foden is obviously the price point. If at Savio's price point you get benched, I think you're less upset about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think...
He looks like a better option than Foden right now, doesn't he?
I would agree, yeah. And I think also, I think with the way that Man City are playing and with the fixtures that they have coming up, the fact that they're starting to find a little bit more of the Man City-ness that we're used to, it's not... You've had Rico, and I appreciate that's come with its own frustrations over the
trauma
over the last few weeks. But it's not hugely pleasant.
when Rico.
No, well, that's not hugely pleasant either. But it's not hugely pleasant not having any Manchester City. Yeah. And also looking at it and going, I don't know how I would get a Man City asset.
Because I'm not super convinced that I'm buying into the City are back narrative.
Nor am I.
Because I still don't think defensively they're any good. I still think they're all over the place against West Ham. And West Ham created chances. And as did Leicester last week.
Yeah.
But offensively, I do think the form of Savio is helping, making them tick. And also, you can see the look on Haaland's face when he scores the header, the one where Savio beats a man and crosses it first time, and Haaland's in there, easiest goal he'll score this season. And Haaland sort of looks at the crowd and like points at Savio as if to say that's all about him. Haaland is, all of a sudden, he's gone from having ball hogger Grealish or Doku on this side, somebody on the right-hand side who's not used to crossing, like a Bernardo Silva who wants to carry the ball, Foden who likes to carry the ball, somebody on the right-hand side. All of a sudden, he's got Savio, who's getting his head up and looking for Haaland straight away. Haaland's like, oh, thank the Lord.
Reguilón style.
Oh, for God's sake, Reguilón style. Shut up, Reguilón style.
I only said it to wind you up. Reguilón. But I do agree with
you've been hating on Reguilón for like years. All of a sudden, he's the
answer.
Oh, no,
I don't think that's true.
Yes, you are. I don't think that's true.
He's been out on loan every 5 minutes for the last few years. I actually thought he was dead at one point. He'd been out on loan so many times, I forgot he existed. I think the point is that with Man City, it's very hard to go back into owning Haaland unless you wildcard, move budget around and shift some money from elsewhere.
Well, I like Savio. I think he's a nice differential. The only thing that puts me off is these fixtures. Brentford away, Ipswich away, which is an horrible, horrible game. Chelsea at home, Arsenal away, Newcastle, Liverpool. That's really hard, isn't it? That's really hard. But as Simon says in the chat, Savio is a proper winger. He is. And Haaland likes proper wingers. So, not saying go out and spend 15 million on Haaland again, but I'm expecting an uptick in Haaland form if Savio's form continues for Manchester City. Let's talk about Brentford 1, Arsenal 1, and I do want us to rattle through these now because we are rapidly running out of time. Penalty or no penalty in João Pedro?
No, it's not for me. They both go for a header.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? It's a tricky one. So I thought it definitely wasn't. Then I was like, it definitely is. No, it definitely wasn't. Because it's a clash of heads. And when have you ever seen that given as a penalty?
Never.
So that was like, first of all, I was like, well, that's weird. Then I looked at the replay and I was like, well, João Pedro does head it first. And Saliba then heads him instead. And if that's the ball's on the floor and Pedro gets a foot on it first, and then Saliba takes Pedro's foot out, that's a penalty. And I'm like, well, how is that any different than with his head? But then you look at the replay in super slow motion, which VAR should be doing, but don't. And actually, João Pedro heads it, and then Saliba gets something on it before they clash heads.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's a really, really hard one to call.
I just don't think it's a penalty.
But the upshot of all that is I don't think it's a penalty.
Nor do I. I don't think it's a penalty. I think it's blimmin' unlucky.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm bitter. Because I sold João Pedro the other week and I lost my...
Well, imagine having João Pedro on your bench and double Arsenal defence.
Yeah, that's worse.
Sums up my week.
I mean, at least I didn't have Timber, I suppose. I just don't think it... There's so many decisions this weekend that I just didn't understand. Like, and this was one of them. I watched it and I was like, it's not a penalty. Mm. And then I watched it again and I was like, I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a penalty, João Pedro... This is why you have João Pedro, right? He's a penalty taker.
Depends, doesn't he? Since the beginning of last season, only Salah and Palmer have scored more penalties than João Pedro. He's got 11. They've both got 12.
Yeah.
But elsewhere in the game, I didn't think he was much in it, Pedro.
He wasn't.
He doesn't want to play that position. He
is good in the 10.
But he's also lacks discipline in the 9. He drifts wide and he drifts deep when he doesn't need to and shouldn't.
Because he gets bored in that position. He likes to be involved in the game.
Yeah,
he wants to be the 10. He wants somebody else in the 9 because then he can run in behind. He loves that freedom to be everywhere that you get from being a 10. He doesn't get that.
I don't know
how
he gets 3 bonus points in this game. How does that work?
Well, because he wins the penalty and scores the penalty.
Ridiculous, isn't it? So, Arsenal, though, from their perspective, Ranieri, 4.5, budget enabler, but does go off, I think, with a bit of an injury.
Yeah, so one to watch.
Do you like him? Ranieri. If that's how you say his name?
Yeah.
I like him a lot. I think he adds a lot to Arsenal's play in terms of the balance that he gives the team because he's Saka-like in the way he plays.
They are better without... If Saka's not there, they are better with him. Yes. Mm. I still find that Arsenal attack incredibly hard to invest in because Ødegaard's benched, Martinelli's benched, and I know they come on, but... like.
If you look at the teams that, and I looked at a table on Scout that had the open play XG versus set piece XG, so non-open play XG, And you look at all the teams from the Saturday games, which was just because that was the table I was looking at.
Yeah.
And everyone's, pretty much everyone's set piece XG is about 15 to 20% of their overall XG.
Yeah.
Arsenal's is half.
Yeah.
Right. And if you look over the course of a season, I looked at another table on Twitter that I saw. You've got likes of Fulham and Brentford, Manchester United. They all create more open play XG per 90 than Arsenal.
Yep.
They are set piece FC. Now,
which is why we've got the defenders.
Now, they do very well from set pieces.
Yeah.
But in a world where, you know, you go to Brighton and, okay, they did, you know, they had chances from set pieces, but you've got to be creating more from, if you're going to mount a serious title charge.
I agree.
Which all the fans are demanding, they've got to be more creative. And I know they're missing creative players. And I know Ødegaard, I don't think, started this game. Saka's not there. I understand all of that. But still, yeah, create more.
I just think, but from an FPL perspective, I just think that the defence, yes, like I still don't think this is a penalty. I still don't think they should get, I still think they should have got a clean sheet out of this one.
Mm.
And I think if you had an Arsenal defender or two in this one, you're very, very unlucky not to get the clean sheet to stick, because in my opinion, it wasn't a penalty. But I think in terms of the attack, it's so difficult to invest. I know you went for Gabby Jesus this week.
Yeah.
He had some moments, but the creativity wasn't there around him particularly.
Well, more than moments. He was fourth for XG underachievers this week with a delta of 0.46. So he definitely had more than moments. Bit unlucky not to get points.
But I do agree with what you said before. I just don't think the creativity is there in the way that you would hope it would be from a team that's got as many good players in it as the Arsenal team has.
Yeah. All right, their fixtures going forward, Arsenal, let's check them out. So they have got, obviously, the London Derby, North London Derby next, then Villa at home, Wolves, and then Man City at home, Leicester, West Ham. I don't think there's a panic there. If you've got Arsenal assets, do you hold?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
I think, I think you have to. Spurs, defence, don't defend.
Set Reguilón.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Oh, no, you're picking him up because of his crossing ability, not necessarily because of his defending ability.
For his attack.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay,
Don't mention the defending.
Just being clear. What else to discuss? Villa 2, Leicester 1? Much to discuss there? Barkley, we drafted in on sleeper. Absolute legend.
And Leon Bailey, who was my differential for a week.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Bit of a shame for Ollie Watkins owners, because I think as a game, you'd think, well, Leicester giving up tons of chances.
I thought Leicester were better in this game again. No, I did.
Yeah.
I thought this was another game, a bit like the game against Man City, where they were a little bit unlucky not to get something out of it.
Yeah. All right. The one notable thing, the only really thing that stood out for me on this game is that Emi Buendia, XG delta of minus 0.54 top for XG underachievers. So a bit unlucky if, for whatever reason, there's an Emi Buendia owner out there, but I'm pretty sure we haven't got many of those here in the live stream. Brighton 1, Everton 0. Bournemouth 1, Everton 0. What I wrote down in this in my notes for this game was that Everton are like so bad attacking wise.
They don't have an attack. Do you know what?
Like,
if you merge the Spurs team, if you merge the Spurs team in attack
with Everton's defense, you'd have half good.
We'd
team.
Be elite.
So I'm doing off the bench with Az on Tuesday. So whenever I'm watching these games, I'm like writing stuff down.
Yeah.
And on Match of the Day, when I watched the highlights of this game, they had Toothless Toffees was the graphic that came up on the screen at the end. They've scored 15 goals this season. That's the 19th, so second worst in the league.
Yeah.
They've had 216 shots. That's the third worst in the league.
Yeah.
An XG of 18.3, second worst. And an XG per shot of 0.085.
Even Spurs might keep a clean sheet against them.
Everton didn't have a single shot on target against Bournemouth and have failed to score in 8 of their last 10 fixtures, is what I'm going to say off the bench on Tuesday. Utterly, utterly dreadful. So if you've got FPL defenders that are coming up against the Toffees, that's where you might get a clean sheet.
Yeah.
You might get a clean sheet. Bournemouth, good. Kirkes finally delivering on that underlying attacking statistics that we've been talking about for a while. I do want to...
You're going to ask me about Evan Nilsson now, aren't you?
I wasn't going, so I was going to ask you about your mate Hoysen at the back. If that's how you say his name. Talk about bonus point magnet.
Yeah, he loves it.
Two baps.
Yeah, yeah.
Loves a little pass completion, mate, doesn't he? A little clearance block interception.
Yep.
And a bit of goal threat, as we've seen recently. Don't mind him.
We've doubled up on them. We got Kirkes and Dino for sleeper.
Have we? Don't mind it.
Which is working out fine. I mean,
a Babs magnet, isn't he, Dino?
He is, yeah. And I think, obviously, he's significantly cheaper than Kirkes, because Kirkes is going to... Again, you might find you add yourself a pile of problems with your defence if you keep adding these defenders to the roster, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
But just because it's really hard to play them all and it's really hard to know who to bench every week. But Yeah, I mean, the Bournemouth defence looks good to invest in. He's good because he's also a good threat from set pieces as well.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing about Evan Nilsson. Come back to me tomorrow after Chris Wood has played and I'll let you know whether I'm moving.
Indeed, indeed. All right, I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to discuss, apart from the two Jimenez penalties today. We were out this time, obviously didn't actually see this game, but three penalties in that game, which is kind of unusual.
And two of them happened within about 2 minutes of each other.
Yeah, indeed. But again, you go to Raul Jimenez, and yes, he takes the pens, but you got the Muniz thing there as well. Muniz. All that sort of thing. So I need to watch the highlights of that game. Maybe somebody in the chat can tell me whether Raul Jimenez had an all-round good performance or whether it was just the kind of two penalties that he took. 57 for underlying BPS by the looks of it. So not too bad. Not a bad performance. And then, of course, we've got Wolves and Nottingham Forest to go tomorrow, Sam. Let's talk about our teams. Can I get this out of the way quickly, please? 43 for me this week. Utter shit. 1,279 points. An overall rank change of minus 65 points. Gone down from 120-odd K to 218K. Absolute dog poo. Played five at the back, as I said before. Trent, Robinson, Hall, Lewis and Gabriel. So in the lead up to deadline, I'm like, yeah, I can't drop any of them. Especially, I mean, even Lewis at home to West Ham. There's at least a clean sheet there, surely. No, 7 points total between them five. Absolute guff. Absolute rubbish. Obviously, Salah and Palmer in midfield is fine, but their EO, I think Salah's EO was 198. I think Palmer's was 90-something, so makes no difference. Isak was 70-something, makes no difference. The only one that would have made a difference to me is João Pedro, but I benched him. So there it is. Absolute dog shit game week. And after about 4 or 5 weeks throughout December of being really good, I've had a really, really good run. I was definitely due a bad week. I was definitely due one. Yeah. So I kind of, the way I'm looking at it is like, well, what did you expect? Did you expect to just have amazing weeks between, because you've had 4 or 5 really good green arrows. What, think you're going to have to just have green arrows every week until the end of the season and win it? No. I'm going to have bad weeks, right? So here it is. I've got one. It's 43. It's 218K at the moment.
Yeah, because tomorrow we're both going to get killed.
Because I don't have any Forest and I don't have any Wolves.
Well, I don't think many people have got Wolves left now. But Forest are very popular.
Yeah, and if Chris Wood scores...
If Chris Wood scores, we might as well quit FPL.
That's a problem. So yeah, absolute rubbish. 43 all out for me this week. And I've got to go on off the bench with Az and talk about it on Tuesday, which I'm dreading. A little bit better for you, but not that much better. 50. Talk us through it.
I thought it was going to go well at the beginning when Isak and Solanke scored. I thought... I went on Sky on Saturday morning and I said, I'm a bit scared about this week. I don't like my team. And as it's happened... It's not done that well. I thought it was going to be good, though, when Solanke and Isak both returned. I thought, right, hello, here we go, we're off. Hall could have actually had an assist from a corner. I remember there being one that went in, and I thought, well, that was a bit unlucky. Mm. But everyone else, Robinson with nothing. Vandenberg on the bench with 10 has really peed me off, more than I can tell you.
But are you not playing him ahead of those three? This is the point, isn't it?
I'm not. No, exactly.
Hall, Robinson and Trent. Of course, you pick them three.
Particularly as Southampton have actually scored some goals in the last couple
and
of weeks.
And have looked sort of all right.
I've been terrible on the road. So it wasn't that I thought Brentford were going to lose. It's just that I was like, well, I don't think Vandenberg is a better pick than Robinson or Trent or Hall. So I'm going to play them. Ismail Assar with nothing. He's the kind of player that I really need to do stuff. Him and Evan Nilsson.
Yeah.
They're the two that I'm like looking at every week going...
Because your Palmers, your Salahs and Isaks, you can't get excited about that, can you?
No. So right. Solanke, great. Thank you very much. I take that.
Yeah.
But Ismail Assar, Evan Nilsson, Luis Diaz, you're my diffs, guys. You're the ones need you to step up. And they just didn't. Mm. So it's a frustrating red on the back of a couple of really nice greens. It is going to get worse tomorrow. But...
We just pray for a bit of damage limitation.
We just hope that Chris Wood just, you know, plays for a minute and then goes off with a cold.
So I've, through the course of the live stream, I've talked about roughly sort of what I'm thinking in terms of Jota out for either Gordon and Bremo. I'd like to get Munoz as well for Palace. Thoughts for you going into game week 21, although we are some 10 days away?
We're away from it, yeah. I actually got 51 this week, cheated me out of a point. So I just would like to make that clear. I look at my team for next week. I got Rodgers, who I can play against Everton. I don't love my team again. Ismail Assar against Leicester, good. I've got my three Liverpool boys against Nottingham Forest, which I don't know how I feel about that. I got my Arsenal defenders against my Spurs attacker. Don't know how I feel about that.
Tough one, isn't it?
And how much do I let my head...
Because you're going to have Timber back, aren't you? So you're going to be double Arsenal defence against Solanke. You've got all of them.
So, yeah. So the question is, what do I do about that? Do I just go, oh, okay, fine. Robinson away at West Ham, fine. Hall away at Wolves, fine.
George is in the chat saying, sounds like you need a wildcard, sir.
Oh, shut up, George. Behave. The long and short answer to your question is, I think I'm going to roll
through the midweek.
Because I don't actually think there's anything that bad in there. Like,
all right.
The possibility that if Chris Wood, I don't really want Chris Wood against Trent, but if Chris Wood goes really mad.
You can't bring in Chris Wood ahead of Liverpool. I mean, I know we were bad today, but I think United were good. I think more than we were bad. But Trent can't be that bad again.
I might watch Match of the Day. Well, I will watch Match of the Day.
Yeah.
And see how Raul Jimenez looked. Because if Raul Jimenez looks okay, then Evan Nilsson to Jimenez might not be a terrible idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go, guys. That is it. A bit of a bad week for us here at FPL Family. On the back of a few good weeks, actually. It wasn't that long ago we were both sitting here with plus million ranks, were we? So we're slowly making up some ground. We've just taken a bit of a... We've had two or three steps forward. This is one step back. It will get worse tomorrow. We've no Wolves and Forest for any of our teams. But
tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll just move it on and then we'll see how we get on. We'll enjoy, we think, the Carabao Cup first leg semi-final during the week. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday that we're playing each other?
It's Wednesday.
I think it's Wednesday, isn't it? And we're not going to watch it together after last time when we smashed you.
I think I should go. My mum's got a ticket. She said, do I want to go with her? I think, honestly, I actually fear for our marriage if we try to watch this game together. Genuinely, I am actually worried that I might tell you I want you to leave.
Oh, okay. Well, it's only a game of football.
No, but it's more than a game of football.
It is for you. He's guaranteed you the trophy. Yeah, he's promised you it. It means a lot to Spurs. I understand that.
I don't think I can forgive you if you support Liverpool with me in the house. So it might mean you have to deal with a bit of drama. You'll have to do the school runs and all that jazz. Well, not the school runs. You'll have to do the dancing runs and all that jazz and feed the kids. And I'll go and sit with my mum and not come home if we lose.
There's a reasonable chance that, I mean, I'm back at work this week, my actual work, rather than just this hobby that I do. So I'll be back at work on Wednesday.
Yeah,
working
a
full-time job.
Can't
get back in time to do all that jazz.
It's all right, I'll take her to dancing. She don't need to be picked up until 7:10. You'll be back by then.
All right, okay. Very good. All right. Well, you have a lovely time at Spurs. Enjoy that result, whatever way it goes. And yeah, we'll enjoy a bit of FA Cup at the weekend. Who are Spurs playing?
Oh,
can't remember. Tranmere.
Tranmere.
Is it Tranmere?
No, I don't think it's Tranmere.
Tamworth.
It's Tamworth.
We haven't got Tranmere. We've got Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley, you were there. We've got a house for them. That's happening as well for Max's birthday.
Have we?
Yeah,
oh, very good.
All the family is coming over to watch Liverpool play Accrington Stanley.
All right, well, we're sort of looking forward to the Carabao Cup semi-final.
The Spurs game?
We're going to be looking forward to Spurs versus Tamworth and Liverpool versus Accrington Stanley and the magic of the FA Cup next weekend. And then we'll be into game week 21. A midweek game week, guys. Don't forget about that. Are we going to live stream next Sunday? Won't be anything to talk about because of FA Cup, but there will be a game week coming up. Maybe a pod. Maybe a pod next weekend.
Well, it depends if we've got divorced or not.
Right, yeah. That's quite an important thing, I suppose. Yeah, it's quite an important thing. What else is coming up this week apart from all that football, Sam?
You're doing off the bench with Az, as long as he's not sick still, bless him.
He's not been well, has he, poor Az? Yeah, bless his cotton socks. Yeah, he's all right. Get well soon, Az.
Hopefully he's all right. And you'll be doing off the bench with him this week.
We'll give a shout out to Mark as well at this stage, because he's been keeping Black Box going on his own last couple of weeks. I've been tuning in for their live streams, and he's been, not only has he been doing all of the content, all the talking, everything, because Az isn't there, but he's been doing the fiddling with the buttons and the tech as well.
Az hasn't been ill all this time.
Hasn't he?
No, he's only ill at the moment. He's been swanning around seeing people for Christmas, probably why he's ill.
Spreading his germs.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, despite them. Well done to Mark, because I can tell you, this is not easy to keep all this crap going on this side as well as having a sensible conversation over here with you. So yeah, well done, Mark, and I've enjoyed his live streams, genuinely very, very good.
Yeah, that's because he's a goat.
Not a goat, he's the goat.
He's one of the goats of
FA. How can you be the greatest of all time one of the greatest of all. I suppose you could be one of the greatest. Yeah, okay, he's a goat. Okay,
yeah, because it's not like, it's like Beckham and Messi and Ronaldo. They're all goats, aren't they?
Okay, fine.
Anyway, going back to Az, hopefully he's better and able to join you on off the bench this week. And hopefully, therefore, he's better to join me for a Q&A at some point this week.
Yes.
Because I've had to deal with you and Tom and your...
That's been good fun.
Spurs winding up for the last couple of weeks. So I'm hoping to have my partner in crime back for that one. And then Jules Kelly and I were back on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday. No, we will. We'll be back on Thursday. There is some kind of unclear... We're unclear yet as to whether we're doing another one on Monday or not. Because obviously there's a game week. So I think I might have messed up. I thought we were doing two, one on Thursday, one on Monday. So I've planned the pod for Thursday being like a wild card chip strategy special.
Right.
With then the game week 21 preview on Monday. But then...
I don't know how the official FPL pod is... When it gets released, it's so slick. It's like, it's a really good... I love listening to it every week. Brilliant podcast. You three, great chemistry. It's really, really good. The amount of chaos... that goes into organising one of these things. I don't know how they go out on time, honestly. Or how the three of you get together to even do a podcast.
Jules isn't even in the country on Thursday when we record this week. Right. And to be honest, though, Lee, I'm not sure I want to pop with him on Monday ahead of the North London Derby.
Oh, that's going to be, yeah.
Because I just don't know if I'll... A bit like I might end up divorcing you on on Thursday
Jules
morning.
Jules will get it at all.
Jules and I might have a workplace divorce. Come the middle of next week. There might be a lot of upset.
All right, so loads going on this week, as usual. Yeah, we'll see how we get on in the Carabao Cup. There's two legs, so we can't get divorced after the first leg because you've got whatever happens, there's still a second leg to come.
Well, whatever happens, you'll have to be nice to me because we have got to also deal with Max's birthday.
True.
So we can't be bitter and twisted at each other.
We'll try.
The best thing that you could do, actually, is for you all to get ill, give us the game, let us win a trophy.
Yeah. We'll try not to put five goals past you again. But with Reggie on there, I'm pretty sure, with his Ballon d'Or stat, it was not him, was it Jacob Murphy, wasn't it? But,
I didn't say Reggie was going to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Let's be clear.
He could, for sure, a nominee, let's say, Reggie for the Ballon d'Or.
Well, he's played about 30 seconds of football in the last year. I don't think you can win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, he's the answer to all Spurs problems. Thank you guys for joining us here tonight on the Game Week 20, Game Week 21 FPL Family Live Stream. Forgot what we were doing then for a minute. I was about to say podcast.
We can't do the Pick'em stuff. We should say that. We can't do Pick'em this today because we've still got a game to go
tomorrow. Yeah, still got a game to go. So no Pick'em winner. But the winners are coming thick and fast, right? We've got another couple of winners over the last couple of weeks. It's been dishing out $100 vouchers left, right and centre. So yes, and congratulations to the three winners of our Patron Manager of the Month as well. So I've got three shirts on the way to the top three managers in our Patron Manager of the Month. So if you want a bit more Patron, a bit more Lee and Sam in your lives, patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find it. Links are all in the description below. All right, folks, thank you for joining us. Leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe if you are new around here. See you next Sunday. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.